461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to you jumping into the discussion, answering the question, asking your questions, allowing us to dig deeper into the issue that we're speaking of. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it God's truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, we won't find truth on the Communist Network News. It's an impossibility to find truth in Chuck Schumer and others of that ilk in Washington today that's deceiving, trying to deceive America. But I believe most Americans recognize what is happening with the shutdown and what is taking place in relationship to the future of where we're going and the reason. We'll be talking about that in part today as part of the issue that we'll discuss. It's a broad brush today. We're talking about how should Christians respond today. As we look out on the world, as we look out on society, as we look at what is taking place in Washington, as we are attentive to what is taking place in relationship to what is called Halloween, how should Christians respond to all of these things? And I know there's not a real nexus to any of these issues, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the broad brush, the big picture. It seems as though Satan in these last days and the demonic sources are trying to whip the nation and the world into a frenzy that it causes Christians in many cases to lose our focus and to recognize, as Ezekiel 33:10 says, how should we then live? Multitudes of Christians today are caught up in the vortices of the arguments, the whirlwind, and the challenges from the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say once again. And I believe this, and you can call in and disagree if you like. I'll be kind, you'll be kind, we'll listen to each other. But I believe it's an impossibility. Hear me. My opinion, I believe it's an impossibility for a practicing Democrat to be a Christian. I believe it's an impossibility for a practicing Democrat to be a true patriot, an American citizen. It's an impossibility. It is an impossibility to hold on to. It's a double-mindedness. And when the book of James talks about being double-minded, that is a better translation or understanding of that is being cross-eyed. You're looking at two different things at the same time. It's an impossibility. But ladies and gentlemen, I am of the opinion that we're finding more and more today the truth of what God's Word says in the last days that will take place. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says very clearly that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult days. And we're living in those dark, difficult, dangerous, devastating days today. More than we've ever seen in the history of the world. But as we look at the issues, we need to recognize that we need to see them based on truth, the truth book. Psalms 117 verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord will endure forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time. Now we're seeing a digression of truth from truth when it comes to the world that we're living in today. We're witnessing today where there's a declension in those that believe in truth. You can't take a half-truth and make anything other than a whole lie. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're witnessing that fact today. Let me give that statement from Orwell again. In his dystopian novel, published in the late 40s, the title was 1984, Orwell in that dystopian novel was projecting what America would be like in 1984. And he said this, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true today, if no other time in the history of our world. I go back to a quote that I've used many, many times from the U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Now listen to what he says in part. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the reason of the focus on today's issue. Is how should Christians respond today? As we witness these things taking place, we need to stick to, tenaciously cling to, the truth of the Word of God. We need to cling tenaciously to what the Bible says and to realize that we're not as a ship without an anchor, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor that holds us in place. You have those today that are without Christ, those today that have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. They of all people are most hopeless. Ladies and gentlemen, I want our focus today to look at the issues, to talk about the issues, to analyze the issues, to look at the declensions in what some are saying and what others are saying. And yet at the same time, refocus our attention to the fact that we need to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, that's the Lord, and allow Him to direct our path. Now, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we have seen that, ladies and gentlemen, and right now there's a modicum of righteousness that's in our nation, not necessarily prevailing, but a modicum of that taking place today. And I'm thankful to see it. I'm thankful to see there's an attempt by the Trump administration to get things back on track morally, ethically, and spiritually in our nation. One of the things that I see taking place, notwithstanding what we see happening now with the Turning Point USA and the hundreds of thousands, yea, millions around the world and in America that's standing, wanting to stand for righteousness, wanting to stand for truth, wanting to stand for patriotism in our nation. Notwithstanding that, I look at a survey that was done about 1 year ago, and the survey points out, headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And the most younger Americans are 55%. And their statement is this. Each person determines their own version of truth. Now that's coming from the survey of 18 to 35 year old age group called the millennials. Each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can slice it and dice it any way you want to. You get away from the centrality of truth. This is the reason I go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and call it the truth book. Because it has no errors, makes no errors, contradictions any place in the Scripture, contrary to what some naysayers want to tell you. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. My focus each and every day on Let's Face the Issues is to try to readjust our thinking and to refocus our vision and to recognize truth. And when we see what is happening in our cities, in our states, and in our nation, and around the globe, I've said over and over and over again, we need to view those events through the prism of the Word of God. This article states, and I read a brief paragraph, America's institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And ladies and gentlemen, I had somebody recently that had asked the question, why is it that we have so many of the younger Americans in New York City that's voting for the Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist that's running for mayor? And it's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, of what they have been taught in the universities, prestigious and otherwise, universities for the past 50 years. We found a declension in anything that's called teaching real history, real U.S. government, what the Constitution says. We've had socialist, Marxist, communist professors teaching those kids in the school. Now they're out and being out of school with a piece of paper in hand called a college degree that's not worth the paper it's written on, because it was a research, a credential that was based on research in certain declensions in certain areas that has no value in the marketplace. I go back to the need of standing for truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer John Huss that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? How can I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. It's a benchmark, a identifier. And at the top of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just another moment on a monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the discussion today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're asking the question today, how should Christians respond today? So, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen, if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and you identify yourself as a Christian, how do you respond? How do we respond to what we see taking place with the mayoral race in New York City? Perhaps you say, well, that's in New York. I'm not in New York. Perhaps you say, it doesn't make any difference to me what happens in the Virginia race for governor. I'm not in Virginia. Perhaps you say, New Jersey, the New Jersey race for governor makes no difference. I'm not living in New Jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, as we witness some of these cities and counties and states being taken over by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, better known today as the Democratic Party, we need to understand that it will have a juggernaut effect, a rippling effect across our nation. And we're witnessing today some of the same phenomena in city after city after city after city. We're witnessing today some major, major transcending additional changes that somehow, some way, we need to understand is identifying America and the future of America. Who would have thought 25, 30 years ago that there'd be the potentiality of having a mayoral candidate in America's largest city city that I'm told has got about 8 million people. Who would have thought that that would be the case, where that were, and we would have a communist running for office? Ladies and gentlemen, we're now facing the possibility of a loss of income for millions of people in America. It appears that the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party are willing to allow Americans to suffer so long as they can be in the driver's seat, so long as they can be in control. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall the short fall events that have taken place, resulting in the shutdown. And it's, the shutdown's now been 30 days. The shutdown, America, the government shut. Listen, there's some good things about a governmental shutdown. And that is, they're not forming laws and rules and regulations to further control American citizens. But we're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, where millions of people across America, as of today and tomorrow, will not get a paycheck for the month. There are millions of people today that's all in an uproar, uptight, and concern. And as a result of that, we're going to talk about on this broadcast today the result of it. How will it redound across America? How will it affect some people? What will be the end result? And I've got a stack of articles that I've already researched and pulled down off the internet, printed out, some of which we'll touch on today's broadcast, about what people are saying and what their intents are, what they plan to do if they have no paycheck. Listen, some are talking about roving bands to go through breaking in homes and stealing what you have if they need it, if they want it. Some are talking about going into stores and pillaging and taking anything they want under the guise of the pretense that I didn't get a paycheck. Some are saying that it is the white man's fault that this has taken place, and it's designed to make the black man suffer and go hungry. Those are some of the, that's a broad brush of multitudes of what's happening out there. And whether you've heard it or not, you will in the next few days, because I really believe that this shutdown is going to go another 10 days to 2 weeks. I may be wrong. I pray that I am. But I believe we're going to witness some major, major catastrophic results of the shutdown. And it's not because of the Republicans. It's not because of the conservatives. It's not because of those that are patriots in America that's in charge. It's because of Chuck Schumer and Raheed, the Speaker of the House, that is the leader of the Democratic Party in the House. That is the causative factor. They're refusing to bow and to change whatsoever. I believe Tom is on the line. Tom, go over the question to comment, please.
Blood, thank you for taking my call. You know, it's not all this candidate in New York, the communist candidate. He's got a lot of help. He's got OAC. He's got Chuck Schumer. He's got Bernie Sanders. He's got the mayor of California. So it's not just him. And Dr. Youngblood, you asked the question, why are the young people? I'll tell you why, because you got people who have credibility. They've achieved credibility. I was watching television, and there was Mr. Crouch and his lovely wife, and she had a Bible on her knee and was bouncing it, and they had a gentleman, a college professor from England, and he was saying there won't be any rapture. Christ may not come back, and it was on. It was all blasphemy. But Dr. Youngblood, when you get so much of that, then it saturates the truth. But Dr. Youngblood, you know, I call up and I talk about, if you want the truth, listen to this broadcast, and I'd really like you to know what I base that on. And what I base it on is that broadcast, TBN, there is some good. There's some good on there. But basically, it's all about the money. It's the largest cash cow for the liberals, for the basically the, what would you say, the lukewarm Christians. And what I base that on is I've had the privilege of talking to two of your sons. I know you have three. And you have four, but one's deceased. And Dr. Youngblood, I've asked two of your sons, are you going to take over the ministry when your father passes? And both of them, without being together, they unanimously said, Tom, no, we're not. They said, Dad, that ministry doesn't make enough money for us to support our family, so we keep just regular jobs. And they said Dad was very successful, him and Mom, in real estate, and he chose to take the money, a big portion, and pursue Christianity and pursue the pursuit of edifying Christ. And we just, you know, he doesn't take in. If it wasn't for being a successful real estate guy, he couldn't do that. So I'd like the listeners to know what the real deal is. And when they're watching these mega ministers, they got plenty of money to leave to their heirs, because that's what they've been about, is making money. But I got to hand it to you. You're all about the truth, and just as Christ, the truth, the life, and the way. And I'd like to know, people, when they come time to make a donation or support a ministry, that they choose this ministry. And I'm just proud to be a part of your ministry and to be able to support it as I have in the past. I just hope that it makes a difference that people do support First Conservative Baptist Church and your ministry.
Well, Brother Tom, I'm humbled by your statements. I am thankful for your support. I'm thankful for your input. And very frankly, I'm thankful that you're able to make those statements. And I'll admit to anybody that's listening, I don't know how to ask for money. I that's just something that's beyond me. I don't know how to do it. And most ministries, and most of those in ministry today, they always seem to have a handout. Give me this, give me that, take care of that, send your check in here. I've never been able to do that with any comfortability. But I want our listeners to know we do need your support. We do need your call-in. We need your participation, because the entire format of Let's Face the Issues is designed around you, our listeners. We set the stage. We ask the questions. We give the answers and ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And it's our prayer, Tom, each and every day, that what we say will be the words that God will have spoken, that will be edifying, instructive, educational, and a challenge to our listeners to be salt and light and to be what God would have us to be, standing in this dark and decaying, dying society in which we're living in. And Tom, just as you've alluded to so many times, we're in the last of the last days. I believe we're witnessing those last days when we see the exponential increase of wickedness and those things that are antithetical to morals and ethics and values. Even with the modicum of hope that we have with the new president, with Donald J. Trump as the leader of our nation and his attempt to do what is right, for the most part, he's not a perfect person, but for the most part, attempting to do what's best for America, and yet his hands are still being tied by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats and the Democratic Marxist communist judges, that every day another judge someplace in a little small room in a small town in a small area with a black robe on thinks he's God and wants to control the Oval Office and control the Constitution and the privileges, the prerogatives, and the powers given to the president to secure America, protect America, and to do what President Trump is doing. So, Tom, it deserves our prayer, deserves our attention. And just as I opened the broadcast talking about how should Christians respond today, two things I think that we need to do is recognize the truth and stand and speak it without any fear or favor. Secondly, we need to pray and ask God to intervene and give wisdom to those that are leading us in the right direction, i.e. Wisdom for Trump, strength and protection for Trump and others in his cabinet that God's using, I believe, to lead America today. But, Tom, it deserves our attention and recognition that the rapture is the next on the calendar of God, and we need to keep looking up, recognizing that our redemption draweth nigh.
Dr. Umbright, could I ask one question?
Yes.
If you, as you go about your daily life, if you haven't done something to bring about eternity or to be a part of building an eternity, which is anytime you even tell somebody like you do about Christ, then that's doing an eternal act. Am I true that every day you should ask yourself, what did I do for eternity today?
Absolutely.
If you can't say anything that you did, I called my grandson this morning and I asked him that, and it startled him. But what are you going to do today for eternity? And that's what I'll say is about your ministry is, the backside, we'll call it the flip side of your sermons, I even noticed, you always leave them open, is it's not what if or so what, that it's if God did something 2,500 years ago, shouldn't you come away with, or you do, the sermons you preach is, yeah, he did that 2,500 years ago, and he's going to do it for you. And most people, they just go, so what? So what? You know, something about David slew Goliath. So what? Well, he's going to slay the giants in your life.
Absolutely. And the key to it is, Brother Tom, the underpinning, footing, the foundation should be for every child of God, for every Christian. Number one, be salt and light. Secondly, recognize Matthew 6:33, where the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first. That word first is the word protos, priority, number one. God's word says the number one thing for the Christian is to seek him first and his kingdom, and then food, clothing, and shelter, all of those things will be added unto you. Most Christians have the problem with faith in God, believing that somehow, some way, God is going to have us to be 24/7 making sure that we get a bread and butter on the table, and leaving God and Christ out of our lives completely. That needs to be the first thing, and the other things will be added. But, Tom, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. And keep on praying. Keep looking up. Keep challenging folks that you hear, see, and talk with to join in the broadcast each and every day and support it with dimes, nickels, and dollars, whatever God would have them to do. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see what is taking place in Washington in particular, but then across the nation with these elections coming up, and as I said, in New Jersey and Virginia and in New York, I'm looking at a headline that should get our attention. Powerful union abandons the Democrats, urges them to end Chuck Schumer's shutdown by taking the Republican deal. Pressure on the Democratic Party to accept the Republican clean funding bill for the federal government and end the Schumer shutdown exploded on Monday when the largest union representing federal workers told the party, that's the Democratic Party, to give up and reopen the operations. It is an American federal government employees representing more than 800,000 federal workers that is the biggest union in the fight, and they said the time is to end the shutdown. It's called the Schumer shutdown because the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who has demanded an extra $1.5 trillion in spending on his pet projects in order to let him let his party support the clean continuing resolution funding for the Republican and proposed weeks ago. They proposed weeks ago. Democrats have been demanding taxpayer money for leftist propaganda, for Obamacare subsidy extensions, for health care for illegal aliens and such. Ladies and gentlemen, what perhaps you do not know is the push and the shutdown is as a result of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party wanting $1.5 trillion to continue the subsidy for the Obamacare that went into effect about the past 10 years now. And the primary thing they wanted to do is to cover the illegal invaders coming into America with total health care and your tax money, our tax money as citizens, to pay for it. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go with the question or comment, please.
It's interesting that a constitutionally limited government would be such that you would not feel it if that government closed. You know, a 10th Amendment limited government will be a small government. And, you know, if you look back in time, one of the more recent shutdowns was done during the Barack Obama administration. And they actually rolled out more government employees and spent more money in the early days of the shutdown to go and close open-air parks. Do y'all remember that? They actually went up and put blockades in place
Let me jump in and interrupt you for a moment. We're on a hard break for the top of the hour news.